Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Dr. J. Layton Reed is general partner in 4Alloy Ventures since 2001, and he's a successful entrepreneur and CEO. His companies have created outstanding financial returns by delivering extreme innovation to solve needs in discovery of new medicines, life science research, and public health. For over two decades, he has also been interested in the psychological principles that underlie successful electronic games and is currently devoting substantial time to his role as an executive chairman of Seriosity. He's one of the authors of a new book, Total Engagement: Using Games and Virtual Worlds to Change the Way People Work and Businesses Compete. Welcome to Edgewise, Layton.
It's great to be here, Dave.
Layton, to begin with, why don't you just lay out sort of in a nutshell what the premise of the book is?
This book explores the incredible psychological tools that are embedded in the play, action, and the design of today's most advanced games. The subject we chose as our model for study and for ways to map into the world of work are the fully developed, massive multiplayer online games. The archetype, of course, is World of Warcraft, but there are other great games like EverQuest and Star Wars Online that help provide examples for our book.
Right.
The premise of the book is that the tools used to make these games so engaging that allow the levels of collaboration that are seen in these games are ripe for application in today's workplace.
All right. Millions of Americans are playing computer video games, and people are more engaged with this play activity than they are at work.
Right.
So what features within those games can be utilized at work?
In our book, we describe 10 different ingredients in great games we think have strong application in the workplace. They range from the engagement of self-representation through an avatar to the delight that comes from exploring 3D online worlds to the basically very good, well-understood management techniques that are implemented extremely well and extremely consistently in these games, such as excellent feedback, giving people an opportunity for advancement, setting the work in a context of a bigger story that's meaningful.
Can you elaborate on that?
Let me describe, if I may, how we came to this insight.
Go ahead.
Byron is an expert in the field of media psychology. He studies what's going on inside people's brains when they're exposed to media.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a background in developing video games for people interested in personal lifestyle changes, going back to the early 1980s when the technology available to build video games was fairly primitive.
Right.
We decided to hire some elite-level gamers, students at Stanford who were delighted to get paid to play games they were enjoying for entertainment, to see what the comparisons were between the kinds of activities going on in the games and the world of work. So we actually gave the students a quest to find examples of real work in their games. Before they could begin that, they had to study the world of work. So we came up with some taxonomies that had previously been published. We used a taxonomy from the Department of Labor.
Mm-hmm.
They went back into their games like World of Warcraft and EverQuest and EVE Online, Star Wars Galaxies, for example, and looked for examples of the kinds of classification tasks. I like it. I don't like it. Pay it. Don't pay it. Is it complete? Is it not complete? Is it quality? Is it not quality? Leadership tasks, followership tasks, problem solving, all kinds of analysis, selling, and persuading. They took this classification, they went back into their games.
Uh-huh.
We thought they'd find some really interesting examples. And the astonishing thing was, we found that every single type of work that is part of today's knowledge worker, information worker workplace is being done by the players in these games.
Very interesting.
So here's the astonishing question. If people are doing every kind of work in these games, why is it that they pay to do work in the entertainment setting? In the United States, it's about $15 a month to play World of Warcraft, for example. And that over here on the other side at our companies, we have to pay them to do what are essentially the same tasks.
Absolutely. I have a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
This whole issue of I literally get to be a different person or a different race. I'm not myself in this imaginary world. And the world itself, some people would argue, is not reality.
Yeah.
So do you get arguments about the irreality of self and environment?
All of those comments can be made, but still you have to deal with this astonishing paradox. On one side, you have human beings who are paying to carry out activities, some of which are grinding out tasks in these games. Some of them require highly repetitive, boring tasks that are embedded as part of a series of achievements that have to be obtained to get to the next level or to meet the needs of your team and so on. People are paying to do the tasks on one side, and on the other side, the tasks that look absolutely identical, we have to pay them to do, and they complain about having unsatisfying, dreary, repetitive, boring jobs. So it focuses you on the question, what is it about the environment in which we ask people to work that is so much less satisfying, so much less engaging compared to these fantasy worlds with pink trees and avatars and so on?
Yeah, exactly.
It really calls out for a serious thinking of what are the differences and how can we fix the world of work based on what we can learn by looking at the entertainment world?
I think you're absolutely right. And people in the gaming industry and in the entertainment industry have been working so hard for games to become more real. And now you have this paradox related to work where how can we make work reality more like these games?
Let's explore this at a couple of different levels.
Okay.
Everyone is drawn to the eye candy, the special effects in the movie Avatar, this magnificent entertainment achievement in which Jake does not have to endure the limitations of his wheelchair. He can be a fully functioning native in this land through his avatar. That same projection of oneself onto a mini-me, a creature that I control in this other world, is psychologically very engaging. It is one of the powerful features of games that could be used in the workplace. There are tens of thousands of people today who drive avatars in online 3D worlds as part of collaboration software, in some cases in training and simulation, and in other applications that are creeping into the enterprise. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. One can create beautiful worlds, change the way gravity works, and teleport people across time and space and other things as a game designer. And there are a lot of pretty handy things you can do in a virtual world. It's just wonderful. It's psychologically powerful. But the eye candy is only the tip of the iceberg. If you look at all the things these games do very, very well that relate to management.
Well, you get the gratification of a job well done. You mentioned in the book also the metrics associated with the tasks are clearly defined. And because it is technology, there's always a report out at the end as to how successful or unsuccessful you've been.
Right. There's metrics and there's feedback. One of the things games do a really good job of is giving feedback.
Right.
Have any of us ever had a boss who gave us the feedback exactly when we need it? Having been a CEO of biotechnology companies, I know that I've missed many, many opportunities to steer a little bit and most often to thank and recognize accomplishment. Well, games get it right every time because they're driven by an algorithm.
Of course.
What we've learned from studying these games is that human beings don't just need feedback on the big stuff. They don't just need feedback often. And there's not just this notion based on research of Skinnerian behavioral psychologists that they need it on an intermittent schedule. It turns out that humans need feedback on every time scale. Very rapid, kind of rapid, not so rapid, kind of infrequent, and long time span. All we do a really good job of in the enterprise is the annual performance review and the occasional intermittent recognition. We're doing a terrible job of meeting human beings' needs for feedback in all time scales. Games do a great job of that.
Leighton, we spend an awful lot of time and effort developing highly engaging, involving immersive business simulations. What you're talking about is beyond training, entering the real world of work.
We think these tools are too good to be reserved for settings where you're getting ready to make money for shareholders. All these tools and affordances and insights ought to be available while you're making money for shareholders because they're so powerful. We think training is a great application of game ideas, but it's too important to limit it to training and simulation.
Okay, so how can we make work reality more like a highly engaging video game?
One of the things we tried to do in our book is start each chapter off with a scenario. So let me give you a description of Jennifer, our imaginary worker in a call center who walks across the street for a 50-cent raise.
Okay.
As you know, customer service has a very high turnover rate. It's a stressful job that's demanding, yet there's no vector of accomplishment. Your job 5 years from now in customer service looks a lot like it does today. So picture this. Jennifer walks in, lays her resume on the table, looking for that 50-cent raise, and the hiring manager says, well, hi, Jennifer. Nice to meet you. No, we don't need to look at your resume. Just sit down over there at the terminal, put on a headset, and start playing the game. If you get to level 4, we'll start paying you. And if you get to level 10, you'll no longer be talking to robots, simulated customers, and trainers. Somewhere between level 4 and level 10, you'll be talking to real customers, and we will advance you based on how well you're doing. When you get to level 20, you'll be setting out new challenges and quests for others in the call center. To make this happen, we do have to give people a chance. We have to lower the cost of failure, as games do. Games do a really good job of what somebody describes as reattempting with new knowledge.
That's interesting.
We like the call center example because these workers are already wired up. This is an extreme example of modern monitored work, where people have to push a button to step away to the bathroom and things like that. The metrics on calls are highly measured. It's a little bit of a challenge to insert a game into this stack of software that's used in customer service, but we've had many conversations with our clients about that and think it's a really great example because it's possible to create teams that weren't there before. And in the same sense that a soldier is more likely to die for his buddy in the foxhole than for his country, people are motivated to help their team succeed. So while it might seem a little artificial, the human behavior that results and the feelings of support, mentoring, and wanting to perform for one's team are absolutely authentic human properties.
Exactly.
We just don't do a good job of taking solo work and organizing it into teams. Games are a great way to do that.
And there are all these support structures and engagement support tools to make something like that happen. It isn't just you against the world. It's you and your tool set, your team.
That's right. Once you start thinking like a game designer, it's easier to make the larger story of the company's mission and why it exists and why what it's doing is important for customers woven in to the daily work. It makes it easier to get that feedback in different timescales. It makes it easy to think about teams. Why does it make sense to put a team together? And what are the behaviors that are going to make work in that setting more satisfying and more productive?
Leighton, if people are very curious about what you and Byron are trying to accomplish, can we direct them to a website?
Well, the first thing I'd like to ask is if people already have examples of games at work, that they get in touch with us and write some comments on our blog at totalengagement.org, the website for our book. And we also keep a website, Seriosity.com, for the company we have called Seriosity. Seriosity is actually a real word. It just kind of sounds like fun.
Yeah.
We love to hear stories about people who have ideas about how their work could be made better by using some of these game ideas. And on these websites, we describe the full list of the 10 ingredients, and we talk a little bit more about some specific examples of companies that are starting down this direction.
We've been speaking to Dr. Leighton Reed, one of the authors of a new book, Total Engagement, Using Games and Virtual Worlds to Change the Way People Work and Businesses Compete. Leighton, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Dave.
Join the American Management Association group on LinkedIn to share insights with hundreds of your management peers and to discuss practices in the areas of organizational management and leadership. To find us, simply search for the group American Management Association from your LinkedIn account. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.